I want to turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of John this morning. John chapter 16, and I want to draw your attention this morning to the verse 31. We'll read verse 30 and verse 32 to get the context. Verse 30 of John chapter 16. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. The last question of the farewell discourse is found in the verse 31. The last question, do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? The Lord Jesus, throughout this discourse and throughout its four chapters that we have been looking at, on several occasions, at least five kind of occasions, whenever the Lord Jesus asked questions. But this is the fifth occasion and the last in the farewell discourse. Now, the thing about all of these questions of the Lord Jesus Christ is that they are rhetorical. Now, what does that mean, rhetorical questions? Well, they are questions that he is not really expecting an answer from outwardly. It may be that the answer is obvious. It's obvious, you know the answer, and so it's a rhetorical question. You know the answer. It may be that the answer is not able to be given, but it's not asked to be answered. It's asked to create an effect in the emotions. It's asked for rhetoric, for effect, to make a point, or to make a persuasion, or to get something across in a very striking manner. And that's the way the Lord Jesus asked questions. He didn't ask questions to find out information. The Lord's never in the dark. The Lord's never ignorant. And he has to ask questions to find out things. No, you read the Gospels, you study the Gospels. He doesn't ask questions out of ignorance, and he wants some answers so that he'll get a wee bit of intelligence and some information on the situation. That's not why he asks questions, and that's not the reason why he asked this question. It's not to find out whether they do truly believe or not. Do you now believe? And he's kind of waiting for a response. No, that's not the way it is. And you have to understand that, and I'm trying to stress that, otherwise you won't understand the message this morning. The teacher in the upper room is not ignorant of their hearts and whether they believe or not. In fact, they just said there in verse 30, we are sure that thou knowest all things. They've just said the very thing that I'm stressing here now. So they know they have a teacher. And they know they have a teacher who knows them through and through. Sometimes whenever we address children, you have to be very careful when you address children. You don't ask rhetorical questions to children, because they'll put their hands up and they'll shout out and they'll interrupt. So you have to be very careful when you use rhetoric and rhetorical questions with children. They're going to answer. But the disciples aren't children. They know the Lord's getting a point across here. And there are no hands going up. And there are no nodding heads to the questions. Yes, we now believe. There are no nodding heads to the question. They know that even his questions are searching. If you or I asked sinners this question, we would pause. Maybe we're doing personal work, and we're preaching the gospel, and we're presenting the gospel, and we want to know what's going on in their thoughts, and we might say, do you now believe? Do you now believe? In our personal work, that's how we would ask the question. But that's not how the Lord Jesus is asking us. All right? You understand that? It's very important that you do. I remind you also that verse divisions are not inspired. The reason how we got our verse divisions, that somebody had a lot of time on his hand many, many years ago. It was a man. He had a lot of time on his hand. He studied the scriptures and he divided them up into different verses. And it's very good for reference. We don't criticize it. It's excellent for reference. But when you come to study the scriptures, you have to forget about the verse divisions. You have to find the units, the paragraphs, the main thoughts. There actually shouldn't be a verse division here. Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. There's no pause. Do you now believe? Do you? Do you? Behold now. Behold, the hour's coming. So there's no pause. That behold comes straight after the question. He's getting a point across. It's clear then from what I'm saying and from what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, it's clear then that the Lord Jesus doesn't think much of their faith. He doesn't think much of their faith. Do you? Do you now believe? Behold, the hour coming and now is when you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and you'll leave me alone. That's what he thinks of their faith. So it's not a kind of, they made this great confession, and then the Lord Jesus, oh, at last, now you believe? That's not the way of it. He doesn't think much of their faith. It's a bit like that situation earlier with Peter that we looked at in chapter 13. You remember Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? That's a question. And the Lord Jesus isn't waiting for him to say yes. He knows rightly he won't lay down his life. He's going to deny him. He says, will you lay down your life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before the cock crows. That's the same kind of question. Rhetorical. He doesn't think much of his confession. He doesn't think much of the statement, I'm going to die for you, Lord. I'll go with you to the end. He doesn't think much of that. Will you die for me? The cock will crow and you'll have denied me three times. He doesn't think much of his confession. And I think that's what we have here. A similar situation. There's this confession of strong faith. Now we're sure. We're sure that you know all things. And we don't need now that any man should ask thee. And we believe that thou camest forth from God. And so there's this great confession. And he is in effect saying, ah, so you think you believe now? You think you don't have to ask anymore? You think you have no more doubts? You think you're well established now in the faith? Ah, really? Well, I'm going to tell you how strong your faith is. Behold, behold, the hour is coming. And now is. It's come now that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. The last question. And it shows the Lord doesn't think they have strong faith, no matter what they said. I want you to consider that word behold, first of all. Do you now believe? You have strong faith? You think you'll be able to stand in the evil day? You'll not fall, you'll not fail, there'll be no more doubts. Do you now believe? Behold, look and see. Look what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what kind of faith you have. I'm going to set it before you, the kind of people you are when it comes to the crunch. Behold. Behold and see. Behold and see. You think you'll never be plagued with doubts again? Behold. I'm going to show you. And maybe some of us here think we're strong Christians. Oh, I'm a strong Christian. And maybe we even have been laughing at the apostles at times. at their doubts and the way they get on. And we think, oh, these silly apostles. Oh, they know so little. They were so in the dark. And we know so much. And we sort of mock their childish confusion. And we're strong. And we have the Westminster Confession of Faith. And we make these great confessions. We're strong Christians. Do you now believe? Behold. Behold. Behold and see. Really? Look and see. Will your faith stand? Will it stand the test when the doctor comes to you and says you have cancer? Behold and see. Do you now believe? Is your faith strong? Whenever they come to you and say it's terminal, you've only a few months. Behold and see. Do you now believe? Is it strong? Will it stand? Behold. Behold and see, the test is coming. You don't know. You make this great confession, but you don't know what's ahead. You don't know what's happening whenever we go down to Gethsemane. Well, this is a bold confession now, but behold. Behold and see. Whenever tragedy strikes, will you be so strong then? Whenever a subtle temptation of Satan comes and he really gets you into a situation and in a snare and in his trap and you're tempted, behold and see then. Behold and see. Will your faith stand? Is your faith that strong? Do you now? Do you? Do you? The emphasis, you see, isn't on the now here. It's on the do you. Do you? Do you? Whenever they come to take away Christ, behold and see. Whenever they come with their swords and staves, behold and see. Well, see then. We'll see then. You know, do we think our faith is strong? If we were in a Muslim land and they were coming to the house and they said to you, deny your Savior or shoot your wife and your children, what'll you do? Behold and see. Will it stand the test? Will it stand the test? Would your faith be strong then? Would it? It's okay here when it's cozy and we're healthy and well and we're well off. But there's a day ahead. And that's what the Lord's pointing to. A day of trial, a day of temptation, a day of tragedy, a day of difficulty. Behold and see then. The Lord knows. So that's how strong our faith is. It's really not strong at all. It's not. These apostles were 3 years with Christ. And they didn't stand the test. And he knew that they wouldn't. Behold and see. And brothers and sisters, we're just the same. Our faith is weak. Don't anybody think they have strong faith. Don't think that. Don't think you stand in your own faith and in your own strength. You don't. Behold and see. Behold and see. And then he says this. The hour is come. Yea, is now come. The hour is coming. And yea, he says, it's even here. We've even entered into that hour. It's near. It's that close. In a few minutes, he's practically saying to the apostles, in a few minutes, we just have to cross over the brook here. We just have to go into the garden of Gethsemane. But in a few minutes, you'll see how strong your faith is. It's that near. It's that near. You now believe? Now? Really? This very minute, you'll find out how really much you do believe. Just a few minutes more. And you'll know how valuable your faith is. You'll find out what it's like. Is it really gold? The way you can... We know, we're sure. Really? Is it gold? Well, we're going to find out because we're going into the furnace and we're going to find out if it's gold or if it's dross. And brethren and sisters, we will go into the furnace. There's no question about that. It's just a matter of when. And we'll find how strong our faith is. The Lord will show us. So it's not long. We can boast of being great believers. We can even despise others who fall by the way. And we can maybe look down upon them in our pride and in our arrogancy and in our foolishness. And we can become so proud. Maybe we had a time of prayer with the Lord. And, oh, it was so heavenly. We're so blessed. And we're beginning to think, oh, I must be walking with God. My faith has got its height. It's so great. I had such a good time with the Lord. Oh, I know. I know that that came as forth from God. We're sure. And we can be brought into this plane of great confidence. And proudly we could foolishly think, I'm strong. I'm a man of God. I'm on a higher plane. I'm walking with the Lord. And we have to remember this question. Do you now believe? Behold and see. The hour's coming. You'll find then how strong your faith is. It's coming. We need to remember the words of Paul. Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so that's what the Lord in effect is saying. In less than an hour, you'll have a disaster, you'll have a tragedy in your life, you apostles, and we're going to find out then how strong that faith is. We'll find out. And how are they going to find out? What's going to happen in an hour's time? Well, the Lord Jesus tells them. He doesn't look into their hearts. He knows their hearts. He looks at what they're going to face in the future, and he knows how their hearts are going to respond when the trial comes. And he looks at the time of trial, and he says, the hour is coming when you, who have just made this great confession of faith, that you shall be scattered. You'll be scattered. Now, this word scattered is a most interesting word. It gives the idea of dispersing abroad, usually out of fear and terror. Because if there's one thing that tries our faith, it's fear. Fear that you're going to die. Fear that this terrible thing you've just heard about has hit you and you're filled with not faith, but fear. And Jesus sees that. He sees that the thing that's going to fill their hearts is not faith, but it's going to be fear. Fear. He used the word scattered before. You remember whenever he was talking about the sheep and the shepherd and the wolf, he says about the hireling. The hireling's not really the shepherd. He sees a wolf coming, and he leaves his sheep, and he flees. But the wolf then gets into the flock, and he catches one. And what do the rest do? Do they come and rescue him and give the wolf a good kicking? The scatter! Everybody scatters. Doesn't matter about the poor wee sheep that's just got devoured. That's a poor wee sheep, but the rest of them just scatter. Well, the one going to be devoured is Jesus Christ and the rest of them are going to scatter. Filled with fear, terror will grip them. And whenever the sheep are scattered, they're not so confident then. There's no confidence now. Do you now believe? I'm sure this question come back as they were running away from Gethsemane. And the question, do you now believe? Do you now believe? I'm sure it come back. What fools we were. We had no faith at all. So the sheep are nice and happy until the wolf comes. Till the trial comes, till the devouring takes place, till the tragedy strikes, till the disaster hits. And then fear takes the place of little, inchy, tiny faith. Brethren and sisters, I tell you this, the devil can soon show us how strong our faith is. Believe me, he can. He can soon show you how strong your faith is. He can put things in our life. He can send the wolf. He can put things in our life and we will find out that we are just sheep. That's all we are. We're not lions. We're not strong beasts. If you're a child of God, you're just a sheep. And you're not strong at all. And you know something? It's not strong faith that matters. Not strong faith that matters. And it's not a big boast and a big confession of strong faith that matters. It doesn't matter. Without our shepherd, we are nothing. And it's not our believing that matters. It's our nearness to Jesus Christ that matters. That's all that matters. Your nearness to Christ. You're taking hold of the shepherd. In true humility. In true confession of weakness. And if you must say, I believe, then do it humbly. And say, I believe, but Lord, help thou my unbelief. We have to walk humbly with Jesus Christ. And it's not about being orthodox and conservative and the great confession. All of those are very important. But you can have a big, big mouth confession and not be humbly depending upon your shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so, staying close to Him, clinging to Him, is the important thing. Matthew and Mark record that Jesus told them what would happen. We read it there in the Gospel of Matthew 26. He says, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. You'll be dispersed. You'll be offended this night. Something will make you fall this evening. And brethren and sisters, I have to say there's something for each one of us. There is something for each one of us that could make us fall. Don't think you could stand against every single endeavor of Satan to bring you down. Don't think you're stronger than him. Don't think there's nothing can bring you down. Don't ever get thinking like that with arrogance. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. There's something can take us down. And we need to know that. And the devil can easily find that. He can. You'll be offended this night. And so, brethren, it's true. It's true. It's not your strong faith. It's God's grace. It's God's grace that keeps us. Do you now believe? We'll see. Child of God, I'm saying to you this morning, take heed, beware. Walk humbly, so very humbly. What does the Lord add further? He says, every man to his own. You'll be scattered, every man to his own. It'll affect all of you. You've all made this great confession. We're sure, we know, we believe. Every one of you will fly. Every one of you who's made this great spiel will scatter. Every one of you, all of you. He knows. Not one of them has strong faith. Every one of them scattering. And it's, look, do you see what he says? This is mighty. Every man, and he has to add these words, to his own. You see, whenever they're scattering, they weren't going like this, you know, John with James and, you know, somebody else, Peter, and the three of them going and hugging each other and holding each other as they go their way. No, it wasn't like that. Everybody went his own way. Everyone got as far away as they could on their own. Just flee. Everyone went his own path. They didn't even have a care for the Lord, and they didn't even have a care for each other. Everyone went to his own. There's only one person matters at the end of the day with us all, and that's yourself, ourself. We all look after our own. That's how strong our faith is. Number one's first. That's how strong our faith is, really. You don't think that, do you? Well, maybe someone says something bad about you, you'll see it. Or they say something to you, and you have to rise up and defend yourself. You'll see it then. You just think of yourself. None of us know how to walk humbly. None of us. When it comes to the crunch, it's everyone to his own. That's how strong our faith is. And we're all the same. The Lord knows it. We need to admit it. And not think we're some great holy people. We need to admit it. I'm just a sinner, and I need my shepherd. That's what I need, my shepherd. And grace. Grace. Strong faith. Really? And the most terrible thing of all is at the end. And you'll leave me alone. You'll leave me alone. You'll leave me on my own. I'll have to go on my own to the cross. You'll leave me on my own. That's how strong your faith is. Do you now believe? I'll soon be on my own. You're all gathering around me and making this big speech. Oh, we're sure now. You come from God. You're the mighty one. You know everything. And in a few minutes, they'll all be hiding in their houses. And Jesus will be going to the cross on his own. That's how strong our faith is. We can even be brought to the place where we just leave Jesus on his own. What does Matthew record? Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It came true. Do you now believe? The Lord's not taken in by our pious praying when it's just hypocrisy. He's not taken in with it. He knows how tiny our faith is. He knows we're just sinners. That's why it's so magnifying of his grace. Where sin abounds. And it doesn't abound any more than in our hearts. Grace doth much more abound. Oh, we're saved by grace. And we're kept by grace. We're preserved by grace. Do you now believe? Yet abandon Christ. That's how strong their faith was. No sense of weakness. No sense of vulnerability. No getting down on their knees and saying, Lord, we are frightened. We are fearful, we'll flee. We are terrified that we'll let you down. That's a better way to be, isn't it? Instead of being cocky and proud. Oh, I'm weak. I let the Lord down. I'll deny him. How am I going to do that? When we're weak, we're strong. Because when we're weak, we're clinging to him. Do you now believe? So I hope you see the meaning of this question and the importance of it as the last question. And then at the end, the Lord has to add this. He says, and yet I'm not alone. You do not discourage my heart, you apostles. Yes, you'll all fly. And I want you to fly because I don't want you to be going to the cross with me. But I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And I'm not discouraged. And I'm not sunk down in my heart. I am having the presence of my Heavenly Father, the unchangeably ever faithful one, the one who is faithful, the one who won't let me down, the one who'll never be scattered, the one who'll never leave me. I don't depend on you, my apostles. I save you by my grace. But I depend on my Heavenly Father. That's who I trust. And that's who I know will be with me to the end. The Lord doesn't depend on us. And the Lord doesn't need us. You know, child of God, the Lord doesn't need you. He just saves you. The only one he needs is his Father. I'm not alone. And child of God, you can say that as well. When you can say, I'm not alone. Maybe you feel alone this morning. I'm not alone. The Father is with me. So, very quickly then, what lessons do we draw from this question? First of all, our faith can never be strong enough. We will never in this life reach perfection of faith. It will always have some weakness. And it's not our faith that keeps us. It's His faithfulness and His grace that keeps us. That's what it is here. The Lord's smiling inwardly at these apostles with their great faith. Oh, you're my sheep. I love you. I keep you. I know. I see how feeble your faith is. Brethren and sisters, He loves us. Not because we have strong faith. He just loves us. And His grace. So it's not strong faith. It's a gracious, strong Savior that matters. And then the second thought is this. Christ knows us. He knows us. You know, we don't even know ourselves. We have a good time of prayer and we get lifted up into the heavens and we think, oh, I am so conservative. I'm so Calvinistic. I'm so strong. Jesus knows me. He knows that what I think is a mountain of faith is just a little, not even a mustard seed, because I can't even move a hill. Have any of you ever moved hills lately? Well, if you have, you've faith as a mustard seed, and that's not very much. We don't have strong faith. And the Lord Jesus knows it. And then the Lord Jesus loves us even in all our weakness and failure. I mean, look at how the Savior dealt with the apostles. He knew them. He knew their failure. He knew they would run. He knew they would flee. He knew they would go home selfishly just looking after number one themselves. And yet, He continued to go out to die for them. He's a marvelous Savior. And then lastly, do you see why He prayed then in chapter 17? This last question shows us why He had to pray. He had to pray for them. Do you see why chapter 17 follows the last question? It's not because Christ needs prayer that He prays in John chapter 17, that prayer. Now, later on in Gethsemane, He prays for Himself. But this prayer is an intercessory prayer for His people. He's praying for them. It's not then Christ's prayer so much, although He does pray for Himself in it, but that is not the primary focus of it. It's a praying Christ for us. Do you know what keeps us? It's not your strong faith. You see up there in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, there's one praying for us. That's what keeps us. Even when we fall and fail and run and scatter like sheep, He's praying for us. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. That's what keeps us. So don't anybody here get any big ideas about their faith. Otherwise, Jesus will just come to you and say, do you now believe? Behold and see. We'll bring you into a situation and we'll just let you see. We'll let you see what you stand by. Grace. My grace. So let us be humble. And let us pray.